Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Can you lead with that?
Sure. I don't want to lead with
it. You have notes.
Huh?
You have notes.
That's kind of for the end of the show. Now that I wrote them down, I won't forget.
Okay, Josh Dobbs.
Yes.
Rocket scientist.
Yes.
I'm thrilled by that.
And when you hear him talk, you can...
It's wonderful.
You say that this guy could be a rocket scientist.
And he had a miracle game yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And it was fun.
Yes.
And he seems like an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Why has he been with seven teams?
Because he just never was the regular. He was never the regular, really. He played some at, where was his original team?
He was drafted by Pittsburgh, and then he went to Jacksonville.
Yeah, and he got a few chances to play, but not many. He's a fourth-round draft choice, and they never turned it over to him, you know. He's a hero in Tennessee, though, because he once beat Georgia with a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So they love him down there. But
how old is he, 28?
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Yeah,
he's been in league for about five, 6 years.
I think he's one of those guys who stuck around a graduate.
But he's a journeyman.
Oh, yeah, but he's... this year, you know, he'd been with two teams, and then now, since last spring, he's been with five. So in a year, he was on two practice squads. He never got elevated to the, you know, during the offseason, he was on two practice squads.
Plus, if Mullen was healthy, is that his name, Mullen?
Mullins, he wouldn't have played.
He wouldn't even have played.
You know, he wouldn't have been here. He would have been still in Arizona.
Right.
But he played eight games in Arizona, and he only won one. Against the Cowboys. They beat the Cowboys. That's their only win of the year. But Arizona, I think, the reason they made him, the Vikings were calling around looking for a guy, and Arizona made him available because they're dedicated to finishing, to...
1-16.
Although the Bears have the pick, right?
They have Carolina's pick.
Carolina's pick. So they're dedicated to getting Caleb Williams from the USC. So they want to go 1-16 or 2-15 or something and get the first pick. So they got rid of him. They were afraid he might win another game.
This guy didn't even know the names of the players he was in the huddle with.
Yeah, he said, I know a lot of the nicknames and the first names. But here's my question about football. So, Joe, you're out there. He didn't have a rep,
nope.
Meaning in practice
never
with
had
the
a
first
rep.
With the first team. So what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
You bring this guy in, you got an untested rookie who's going to start. Now you don't know he's going to get a concussion, but he might stink. You know, why don't you say after practice is over, hey, Josh, come over here and take some snaps with Bradbury, and we'll run a few plays. Why don't you do that?
That's a good question.
You know, I don't get it. He'd get up there under Bradbury's butt. He'd say, whose butt is this?
Right.
I've never been there before.
Hey, I'm not the center.
No, right? He lined up behind the wrong guy. But it was phenomenal because that Atlanta, which could screw up a one-car parade, there's no doubt about it. They're stupid and the penalties and fumbles and everything. But once they marched down the field and just smashed you in the mouth to go ahead, you didn't think there was any chance. And then on that fourth down play, there's like two guys getting ready to...
thought he was caught twice.
Two guys getting ready to tackle him, and he takes off down the sideline. If that would have been Kirk, we lose. The standing with the pass rush Atlanta had yesterday, poor old Kirky would have taken about eight sacks, I think.
Well, so, I have two more questions.
All right.
Who's number two for the Vikings?
That is Addison.
You see what he's got written on his shoe?
No.
I am gifted.
I am gifted. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, he could have had on there, I drive fast, too. Right. That was a guy that went 130.
You know what he doesn't have on his shoe? Twisties.
And to this day, I want to know, what in the hell was he doing on this side of town?
Going that way.
Going
when
the other
way. Dog lived.
Going the
going
other way.
See, he was going to see his dog who lived the other direction.
I think we can all make an assumption.
We can make a guess, but...
Now, my second point.
But Addison, by the way, on that last drive, made a hell of a catch.
He's a good player.
He is a good player. We just got to worry about bye week.
Yeah, that's it.
If he gets through bye week, he'll
and
be rookie
someone
of the year.
Be there to watch his dog. Yes. Other than that, we'll be all right.
To echo a young woman who asked me this question, if this guy's a rocket scientist,
yes,
what the hell is he doing playing football?
Well, he's making $1 million.
My
a
answer
year.
Was to her was obviously it has to be for
Plus,
the money.
Yeah, A for the money and B. How many jobs are there in rocket science?
Well, he's got to think he could take his pick.
He didn't
hang out at the strip clubs.
Well, he don't want to go work for Elon.
He hangs out at NASA.
No, he does. He does. He did the whole thing. He isn't an official scientist.
Oh, I think he is.
He's got a degree, I think, in nuclear.
But an actual real degree.
Yes, he
this
does.
This ain't basket weaving.
Oh, you listen to him talk, you say,
what the hell?
That guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
He knows more about how stuff works than me, for goodness sake.
Right. I want to sit down and have him next to Jabari Price, where Jabari says, do Lieutenant Dan have legs in real life? I want to hear the conversation between those two.
Yes, Jabari, I believe he does.
He's had a few of those in his life, I would imagine.
What the hell is this guy talking
he
about?
He got a legitimate degree.
Yeah, and probably in 3 years. But I think his folks are both like,
I'm not sure.
His mom's in a wheelchair for some reason.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know
I had
that.
People racing to the Google yesterday. They were so taken with this.
I want to read the big The Life and Times of Dobbs sometime this week.
Yeah.
So, the full. And now,
he has alopecia. We know that.
Yes.
Where you can't grow your hair.
No.
He does not appear to be inked up either.
I didn't
not
see
a lot of rocket scientists are in that.
He could have put one right on top of his head, but he didn't do that. That was.
If you have alopecia, I wonder, do you have to shave your head or is just nothing there?
There's nothing there.
Nothing there. Nothing
I'll be
there.
Damned.
I once, in fact, referred to a guy as bald, and it turned out he had alopecia, and people got very upset.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
You didn't know. You weren't trying to be insensitive.
I didn't check out the eyebrows.
Was that around the same time you asked the guy without any fingers if he had a nail clipper?
No,
that was Bruce
Bannett. That was way back going to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, you got a nail? Well, never mind.
Yeah, I was a little hungover that day. Heading to Tulane Stadium
I was there. Tulane Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, freezing.
That's when you sat down between Jim Murray and Red Smith and said, boys, here we are. Three of the greatest sports writers in America.
Whoever lived, I think. And Red thought it was kind of funny, and Jim looked at me like I was a pedophile or something.
Yeah, but he got his comeuppance. Isn't Murray the guy who got caught in the can at Metropolitan Stadium?
Yes, he did.
In the dead of winter.
He was up here for the playoff game.
Yeah.
And when he got in there, he tried to get out, and he was pounding on the door for like 2 hours. Somebody finally went back there and let him out. But he wrote a pretty hilarious column about what it would have been like spending the winter in a men's room in Bloomington, Minnesota. It was it gave him a fine opportunity to write a column.
Wow.
So, anyway.
It's a different time, isn't it?
What a weekend, though.
It was fun.
You
man.
Have, you know, the reason you got into sports writing originally, mm-hmm. now you've gone on, because you got the good and the bad in the, you know, in what you do now. Mm-hmm. But the good and the bad is what makes it great, because we don't want something that's just average.
No.
So you get both extremes over the weekend, right?
Yes.
You get PJ, whatever his name is, with one of the worst losses in the history of mankind. And now you got this guy who was, you know, hiding out in Arizona a week ago, comes in and wins the game for you. It was great, great theater in both areas. So
I was just happy to see the honorable Coach Fleck said it was All on
me again once in a while. And then immediately said, well, if we would have thrown that pass so hard on the short pass, we would have gotten the first down and the game would have been over. So it's all on me, but the quarterback screwed up, is what he said.
So I got in a car with somebody with a minute to go in that game, and they weren't listening to the game, and I just didn't say anything. There was about a minute left. The Gophers were still ahead, and I was stunned when I realized they had lost.
Yes.
I was stunned.
The last play was 46 yards.
Yeah.
Where was the safety
where
man?
Where was the safety man?
Where was the safety man? But did you see, there's a video of Bielema, who's 3.5 bills at least, right? And you know how they show the videos of PJ running into the locker room and sailing out. And Bielema comes in and he's got his arms waving like
he's going like to do the crowd surf.
PJ do the crowd surf. And his team is in there. They're just absolutely raucous, singing this awful. In the background is this profane rap song. And Bielema's going like, he's
like,
doing.
No!
They dispersed.
We are now 0-10 against that man. 7-0 against the Gophers in Wisconsin. And we learned to hate him then, because before Coach Brew was a villain around here, didn't he go for 2 against him to,
I think so.
To beat him like 50 to something? And then now PJ's 0-3 against him, so he's 10-0. But that was a bad loss.
Now the hated New Orleans are here Sunday.
Yep.
Can Josh beat him?
Oh, sure, but I think they can lose to him, too.
They're New Orleans isn't very good, but I'm with Pat. I can see
them. David Carr's okay, the quarterback.
Plus, the Vikings keep losing guys. We're down. Akers blew his Achilles yesterday.
That's Jefferson's okay, not showing me much.
I don't think he's coming back either this week.
Not showing me much.
Jefferson's coming back.
Well, what's the deal?
Jefferson's
back. Well, he had to sit out 4 games.
He had the both of these, right?
Yeah. Right.
He'll be back this week. But if the left tackle's hurt, that's bad. Yep. Darisaw is their best lineman, one of the best in the league. So that hurt him a little. Atlanta had a ferocious pass rush, but everything else, they're so screwed up offensively, they make an incredible number of mistakes. So, you know that coach, the guy with the bad mustache there, the little mustache, Arthur Smith is their coach, son of a damn near a billionaire, some of this rich Eastern money. Arthur Smith.
He's the New Orleans coach?
Yeah.
The Atlanta coach.
Atlanta coach,
yeah. He's got the kind of...
What's the source of the income from
the
dad?
Family, I don't know. Mm. Wall Street or some damn thing. It's very wealthy family.
Why the hell did he get into coaching?
Football. He just loved football. Right. He actually was on a bench warmer somewhere in the SEC, I think. I'm not sure where. Okay. But... he's not going to be around too long.
A place where Dad probably donated a few bucks?
Yeah, he's not going to be around too long, I don't think. But really,
how about the fact that you drafted a running back in the top 10?
Yes.
And the entire second half, he stood on the sideline. What the hell? And that kid's a player, Robinson, for the Falcons.
And then on that last drive, they got him back a couple
Right, but
of
I'm
times.
Thinking, why don't they have him in the game?
They were mad because he fumbled?
Is that why? I don't know. Okay.
PJ keeps putting this Steve Tyler on probation, and he keeps fumbling.
I got a bad feeling that this Kelly McManus can't play.
He's
I know he's still young, but my God, he has no touch on his passes. He wants to throw it 100 miles an hour every time.
By the way, as they told us about the young quarterback Hall, Jerron Hall, before he got hurt, and they said he was a young quarterback 25 times on the broadcast, the guy who's 3.5 years younger than him, C.J. Stroud, threw five touchdown passes yesterday.
That kid is good.
Houston, yeah.
How come the Dobbs victory was such an occasion for the Scribes to celebrate O'Connell?
What a hell of a coaching job.
What a coach. Dobbs says he couldn't even hear him in his helmet.
I suppose that they thought that
I'm not anti-O'Connell. I'm just wondering.
The opportunity to prepare him so quickly. Of course, it doesn't sound like spent much time preparing him. No,
he didn't prepare him.
I guess whoever said, okay, let's bring this guy in, but supposedly they called like 8 teams looking for a backup, and Arizona said you can have ours. You can have our starter. So
for a pick swap, later on pick swap,
6th round or something like that. So they said, okay, we'll take him. Because I would think the thing you liked about him is he'd been playing.
Yeah.
So it's not like he'd been sitting around for 8 weeks doing nothing.
You realize they've won every game without Jefferson?
Right.
Yeah, they went 4-0 without him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'd still take him, but they're gonna try to use that to not pay him what he thought he was gonna make. I think this will turn into a battle, don't you?
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't sign him and used him as trade.
Well,
because it's gonna cost a lot of money to keep him.
Everybody thought 30 probably.
Right.
So I
guaranteed
when you let Kirk go. All that money that you're saving with Kirk, you would have
When Dobbs leads us to the Super Bowl,
that's right.
Look at how much money we're going to be able to save.
Case Keenum damn near got him.
That's right.
I like this guy better than
Case. What was your line? The Giants won the Super Bowl with Jeff Hostetler.
Yes, right.
Is Dobbs making the minimum?
Probably.
1.5.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's the minimum in the NFL.
No, it's 900.
Yeah, it is.
Is that the minimum? Yes. I thought it was 900 and something.
What, 1.5.
Wow. Anyway,
that's why he's not working in aerospace technology.
What a weekend, though. What a weekend.
And then the Wild down 3-0 to the Broadway.
And they had to pull Gus.
Yeah.
Gus the bus.
Gus.
Four shots, three goals.
Yeah.
And
that club still doesn't shoot enough. I would love to talk to the coach and have him explain that to me.
Okay, I got to. Who was it? What scribe was it saying, you know, these goalies who are marginal, they have their great years, and then they disappear and have their mediocre years. I don't think you should have given Gus a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when money's tight to begin with.
Yes, they got the kid down in the future all-star, Wallstead or whatever, the Swedish or Finnish kid.
Yep.
The Scandahoovian down there, high draft choice. He's going to be here before the year's over. So
I think the problem was they were worried about Fleury just because he's at the end. I think that's why they gave Gus 3 years.
Yeah, well, obviously it was. But
does the goalie get a victory for a shootout victory?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so he got another notch then closer to his
Fleury. I guess he gets credit for
that. Does he get the save or does he get the W?
That's what I'm asking.
Because he came in and relief.
I think when you're behind. You know, it's like a relief pitcher. If you're behind when you come in and then you win, you get the win.
I think he gets the victory.
I see.
I think you.
Well, in fact, he would have to. Who else would you give it to?
Can't give it to Gus.
Can't give it to Gus.
No. We hooked Gus.
Yep.
So,
Pat, anyway. Did you see the ratings for the World Series?
Not good. 9 million people watching. I predicted that, though.
That does not bode well.
Yeah, but, you know, if you get the Yankees and the Dodgers, you'll be back to double that.
The Rangers are in Dallas. That's a huge market.
I would think that's probably where all your viewers were, right?
Yeah. So. But is this still going to be on Fox, or are we going to go to some cable outlet now?
Well, Fox has already, I think, signed a new deal with them.
Did they?
I'm not sure.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
They, you know, as bad as it is, it's better than... The trouble is, you can put on any NFL game and get more people than that.
Right.
So, That was predictable, though. But
a golfer won a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, Van Rooyen.
Is that his first or his second victory?
I thought he won one before, but that might have been one of those. This is kind of a B-squad event, you know, but hey, good for him. They made a long eagle putt to win it.
Yeah.
Good.
And the Fighting Timberwolves have Boston tonight at home.
Boston is going to win the NBA title if they stay healthy.
Really?
I like Boston a lot. I like that.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No.
Oh.
I'm not, because I'm afraid I might get there and it might be a tournament game and I might have to see one of those courts that they are doing for their... They got the in-season tournament, right?
I don't get what's
crap,
going on.
That's
right. They have these new floors, Joe, that are like the Bulls played on one that was pure red, basically, with real court down the center. They got different courts, so you know you're watching a tournament game, which is the dumbest thing of all time. The fact that
what's
you're
the point of the tournament?
I don't know. Well, just marketing,
didn't
I guess.
This spawn from trying to prevent guys from taking the scheduled days off?
No,
was that not part of this?
No, it'll probably lead to more scheduled days.
Oh,
you know, so, and but you don't know what a tournament game is. And you know what they thought, Joe, with all their marketing, they didn't give it a title.
Oh.
It's an in-season tournament. You'd think somebody would be the... It'd be the Mercedes tournament or some damn thing, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Wow.
It's but there's random games, Joe, like six of them that are for this tournament. But they count in the regular season statistics.
Are we having a mid-season?
Yeah, there's going to be one championship game. That's it.
In the middle of the season.
In the middle. It's not going to count in the standings. But suddenly they're going to announce these are the two teams playing for the in-season tournament title.
I see.
And we're going to get all excited.
Well, I've got a young man who's playing organized basketball for the first time. So we've been watching some games.
Yeah.
And he now, I'm going to have to use our super secret device to watch all of the Spurs games because he is all in on Wemby. He's got to watch this kid play.
And then I had 6'7" guy. Huh?
Man alive, can that kid play? What an athlete.
He's a little different. He can get banged around a little bit, but he's a good passer.
Did you see the still shot of him, Patrick? Andrew Wiggins is taking a jump shot on the baseline. Like I think it's a three-pointer.
And he's 6'8".
And he's towering over the top of him to block the shot.
7'5".
It's amazing.
He and Holmgren, who's 7'2"?
I think 7'2". Something like that, yep.
Played against each other, the two skinniest guys in the history of the NBA, but they both can play.
Both of them combined are less than Brett Bielema.
How can they be skinnier than Wembanyama?
That's what we just said.
Well, Holmgren is as skinny as him. We're talking about Wembanyama.
I got you.
Yeah.
I had to make a text there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't blame you. You know,
it's a busy day for you.
It's a busy day.
So here's my three.
Oh,
here's
we got three. Bullet
you have
points.
Notes.
I think I'm going to start doing like top three.
Actually, can we do this, Patrick? So I don't have to hear from the sales staff. Can we hear from the Valley Group and then you go into your notes? That way
certainly.
We space out all of our advertising.
I see.
That'd be Jim Paul's Valley
Automotive
Group. That'd
be Jim Paul and Brett Paul.
That's right.
Valley Group of GM dealers. You know what happened to me? I was saying this earlier. You know what happened to me? I love the convertible. You've seen the convertible.
Oh, yeah.
I take walks
I've
in the convertible.
I've ridden in the convertible.
But with responsibilities occasionally to transport a grandson or granddaughter to hockey, the trunk doesn't quite work.
Oh, I suppose.
We got to kind of jam that bag in there. In fact, the other day we had to have the stick in the... In the cabin.
In
the cabin. So I'm looking at SUVs.
Really?
And I think,
I
think the small one, but one that holds a hockey bag. You know, I want one that holds a hockey bag.
You have become a 38-year-old suburban mother.
Yes, I have. only 40 years older than that. But that's basically, plus I just kind of, people look at me so strange when I get there. And I don't have an SUV for a hockey game or a truck.
I can't see you in an SUV.
Why is a guy? Yeah, you know what else? It's easy on the knees. I think.
Yeah, I guess
because it's you know, you don't have to climb out of it. But anyway,
I've purchased an SUV from Jim Paul.
If I, that's right.
Yep.
And if I end up getting an SUV, Dang right I'll get into Jim Paul. Prices are better than they've been in a long time. Interest rates are low. My last five or six cars I got from Jim Paul and Brett Paul out in Apple Valley. They also have a store in Hastings. And check them out. I might be doing, I might be making the big move here right now, right pretty dang soon.
You've got yourself a list.
Yes. Number one, IRS. You guys were talking about the IRS.
Yes.
You know what happens if I get a note from the IRS saying, we've looked through your return, and we think you owe us $1,100. Mm-hmm. You know what happens? Huh. I got the check in the mail within 15 minutes.
Really?
I put a writer out and put a, that's... Okay, if you say so, I'm not going to fight with you, okay? I don't...
Did this actually happen?
This has happened 3-4 times I've had to send
Well, who
them.
Does your taxes?
No, they're fine. It just...
Well, they apparently are not.
We might have got a little antsy on a couple of things, you know?
We were a tad forgetful.
We might have got a little joyous in the retirement, you know? Whatever it is, yeah. Whatever they want.
You know what you are? You are loyal to your country. You need more? You got it.
You say I owe you $1,100? All right, here it comes.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, look at that.
I might have asked a question.
And then the guy or gal who did it, and they get the check back, they say, now there's a good, loyal American. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give him we're not going to go back 7 years.
You actually think this will get you out of future problems?
We're not going to go back 7 years and see if there's any other hijinks going on here. So that's what I do with the IRS.
All right.
I trust them impeccably.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even last year, I couldn't
implicitly.
Figure out. Even last year, when they wanted money back, I couldn't figure out why, but I sent them the check anyway.
There you go.
What the hell?
Note number two.
Rich Gannon.
Former guest.
Today, I'm listening to, I'm in the car this morning, I'm listening to the NFL Network to see what they're saying. And Rich Gannon now has a 3-hour show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Day on Mondays, the day after the thing, with a guy named Brad, I think it is. And they do a 3-hour show. But we had Rich on for, 5 years?
At least,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, however long. And this guy makes a point and asks a question of Rich. And it's a very, you know, it's a routine question. It's, I'd say slightly above average.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly above average. And Rich said, that's a great question, Brad. And it got me thinking.
I knew what you were going to say.
All those times that Rich said to me or to Manny or to you.
Boy, that's a great question.
That's a great question. Was he just BSing and they were kind of modest, mediocre questions?
Yes.
Because I kind of got my, in addition to my belly,
here
my chest kind of
puffed. Former MVP.
saying, that's a great question,
wow.
Chris or Manny or Patrick. And I say, hey, yeah, it wasn't really that. Then you'd think, well, I didn't think it was that great a question, but obviously it was. Rich felt that way.
Right.
But now I'm kind of skeptical that that he was blowing smoke.
Might
when,
have been.
Yeah, he might have been.
And, you know, I
smoke.
Think, if I'm not mistaken, Rich also, because we normally would have to pre-record Rich, if I remember correctly,
right.
because of time issues when we wanted to run the interview. But I believe Rich is also the same guy that ended it with, thank you, Patrick, you're the best.
Okay, that's good.
He did say that
did
at the end.
Did he say that to this Brad guy?
Well, but he also...
I didn't hear the end, but he might have told me.
But
that.
I think he might have said that, you know, just...
By a great guy. I'm glad we had him on. But
Is he still in town?
Oh, yeah.
I think
he still lives here. Married to Bill Brown's daughter.
That's right.
Now, Shelly, the former gymnast at the U.
That's
very
right.
Great gymnast.
Is Bill Brown still with us?
Oh, no. 10 years, probably. Oh. Hmm. The boomer ended up with...
Dementia?
He hit in the head a few times.
Yeah, he got... Did you see Tommy Kramer, by the way, on Twitter for some reason?
I did see
said
this.
That he thought he'd been told he had 14 concussions minimum.
You're kidding.
I believe it.
Wow.
Explains a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But, I guess we would back then, the helmets that they had on and the number of times he got hit and all that. And finally,
third note,
Highway 55.
Highway 55.
Floyd B. Olson Memorial Highway.
That's right.
She goes from downtown out to Big Lake, yes, all the way out there.
But it goes to Highway 169,
yep,
and then it also goes out to 394.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, you cannot believe the traffic in the afternoons on 394, which runs parallel to 55, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Satan's Tunnel, I call it, the Lowry Tunnel. Satan's Tunnel. The other day I was coming home. It must have been a Wild home game. They were backed up past Highway 100.
No.
Trying to get through the tunnel.
Really?
So it's gotten so much worse than it ever was. I guess nobody uses the Sane Lane anymore. They should open it up, but the cheapos don't want to. You know, the mm-hmm. interior line. It's incredible. Even most days, just 10 o'clock in the morning, you can't. It'll be 20 minutes to get through the tunnel. So Highway 55 is a three-lane alternative.
Right.
After you get through the city of Minneapolis. You know what these douchewits have done. They have taken the right lane and made it into the world's largest bike lane.
No.
With these sticks. With the, you know, with the...
You're kidding.
It. No, there's at least a mile of it.
Oh.
The other day I was trying to get it like at 2:30 in the afternoon. It was backed up damn near to Worth Parkway.
Oh, no.
Who died and made these bike riders king? That's what I want to know.
It's a good question.
We got a lane. There's a sidewalk right there.
That's a good question, Pat.
There's a path there. There's a sidewalk there. We're taking we have made it impassable.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of morons. And I say all of us who use 55 ought to have form a vigilante group and come out there some night at 2 in the morning and hack down all those sticks. What good can we do? How would we have
there? Pat, you know what we're getting in St. Paul?
What?
Islands. Every once in a while, just an island.
The island.
What's
yeah.
that? What is the island for?
What are the islands?
I don't
for?
Know.
I know. I've been running into some islands too.
I don't like islands.
We're putting roundabouts in, even when we don't need a roundabout.
Right.
I can see. Okay, they're logical, but you gotta spend a lot of money for them, right?
Well, the island, let's say you're westbound on a certain street and you want to keep going,
yeah,
and you got to cross a busy street,
yeah,
there's an island right there. So you got to take a right.
You got to take a right. You can't leap. You
can't
go
left.
Go
you can only go right. Have
the city officials explain this?
We have not had an explanation of the islands.
Yeah. That's.
They serve no purpose that I can see.
Mm. Well, the other thing about... good old 55 over there by the Rudy Perpich School, which
yep.
is now, I don't.
It's called Summit,
the arts,
isn't it?
The art school or
isn't
whatever.
It Summit Academy?
The art school. They've been blocked off there for like a long time. I'm wondering how far this bike lane's going to go. Are we going to go all the way out to Rudy's?
When you were cursing the bike lane, how many bikers did you see utilizing?
Not any. The worst bike lane is Plymouth. Plymouth Avenue, which I use as an alternative. They've been working on that for 6 months, too. You can't get it. And all of a sudden, they're blocked off for no reason. Probably more bike lanes. They got a bike lane. No one in history's ever ridden a bike on Plymouth Avenue.
Is Plymouth your third choice?
Third choice.
Yeah, you go 394 to 55
to
Plymouth.
To Plymouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, now if I know it's going to be horrible, I'll take Plymouth, because not a lot of suburbanites don't use Plymouth, but I'll use Plymouth.
Well, you're giving up your secrets here.
Yeah,
Plymouth. These are make-a-move-made deals.
Yeah, well, the 55 was my big ace, make-a-move, and all of a sudden, you jackasses have turned over. Honest to God, it's wide enough for a semi. The bike lane is wide enough for a semi.
And no bikes.
For bikes, not a bike in sight.
Yeah.
You missed your co-host said, that's a great question, Pat.
That's right. Oh, God. Unbelievable.
So,
you know, I'd really be tempted politically if we didn't have a new Speaker of the House who wants us all to go to church as we can't vote or something, you know.
I don't think he said
that. Well, he's one of the crazed, God-loving, right-wing jackasses of all time, you know.
He is a bit out there.
Yeah, and the wife is like, you know.
I don't know her.
If you kiss a boy, if you're a boy who kisses a boy, you're going straight to hell, you know. So, anyway. That's really tough. It's tough politically right now.
What are you, Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, it's really tough. It's tough. It's tough because you're driving down 55.
Here's
and
a bike lane.
Damn well the political jackasses who came up with this are the ones you always vote for.
That's
right.
Right.
But then I read about Mike Johnson and I say, help!
But at least once tomorrow is complete, we can now focus on the 2024 election that will calm the entire country down.
I got to tell you, it's tough out there. It's tough.
Bike lanes.
Yes. You know, Golden Valley, I could go vote tomorrow. There'll be 12 people that vote. I have no idea who, because I don't think we put on the ticket what they are.
I thought you were an early voter.
Not for this one. There's 12 people going to vote, you know.
Vote early, vote often.
The socialists have a chance to win in Minneapolis because nobody else votes.
They're going
to
win. That's the beginning of the end.
Oh, yes, it is, because people don't vote.
That's right.
If I was in Minneapolis, I'd be voting.
I'm voting tomorrow.
In Minneapolis?
No. In St. Paul.
Maybe I could go vote in Minneapolis. I could get somebody.
Why not?
Get somebody.
Swing over to St. Paul, too, on your
to
way.
Support me. You know,
are you going to vote in Prior Lake?
Only a few years ago, I stopped voting in Elko. I'm putting in the double hitter then. Oh, God. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I feel that I owe it to the dedicated Monday Night Sports Talk audience because this was sent to us a number of times, but you guys are aware of what special anniversary yesterday was.
It was a hell of a game. For $23, if you can get more excitement than that, hell, you're in the wrong operation. A hell of a game.
And let me say something.
As long as I'm in this f***ing job, Snelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question about that. I don't like to name names after a f***ing game. We can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the f***ing guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for we get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb f***ing play when his foot was shoe was coming off up the line screen. We were hollering take timeout. We had a f***ing trap play called and f***ing shoe comes off. That ain't Bob Snelker's fault. We have another f***ing trap play, and if Finney picks up his f***ing feet, he walks in. We got the f***ing pass to AC out there in the flat. He's a ball thrown in and low. That isn't Snelker's fault. Right. We got the second down, and I don't know what the hell, two yards ago, I don't know what, 15, 40, whatever the hell it was, and Irwin jumped offside. Now, these are the things that have been hurting us all along, the little things.
Right.
We're working at them to stop them. We moved the ball good today. We went down there, and we didn't get the ball in the end zone. He did a sensational f***ing job. Yeah, last week, and on the Giants, Christ, he ran 65 yards. This time he fumbles the ball. What the hell can you do? You can't. All you do is you prepare as thoroughly as you can. Oh. The guys play their asses off. It's a big win.
Big win.
It's a hell of a great catch by Hassan. The guys didn't give up. A great catch by Hassan. This game reminds me of a Cleveland Brown game when we won down at the old Met Center. When we throw the ball century and then he lateral the ball to Teddy Brown. Teddy Brown ran out of bounds. Made a great play. The next one we hit Ahmad on a squadron right, put it in, and won the division.
Jerry, your Snelker endorsement stem from all the stuff over in the
week. The guy feel like shit afterwards, right? Everybody booing the shit out of him. He works his ass off. And no smarter coordinator in football. They put his picture up there and the f***ers boo him. F***ers.
Wasn't then at the end, didn't someone say, "Now you won the game, right?"
Right.
In a very calm voice, he said, yes, we did.
I think Satsmire says this. Yeah.
You won the game, right? Yes, we did.
Here's Patrick laying in the fucking weeds.
You know that was locally famous, but it didn't really start getting national attention as a, one of the great tirades until the last 4 or 5 years.
I think, you know what
it was?
It was
1989.
Yes. Yeah. The thing of it, I think, Patrick, it was the NFL Network has these, you know, top 10 countdowns or whatever. Yeah. And it might have been when Denny died because they used the Denny Arizona clip. So they did a bunch of old, like Herm Edwards with the Jets, and they used that, the Jerry Burns clip.
This is, I think it's better than Elia's. I think it's because it was
it's
so
right there.
Rapid fire.
It's right there.
Right there.
the best is at the end, he's winding her down, and he goes, and they put his bleeping picture up there, and the bleepers, boom, the bleepers.
No, and at the end, he's walking away, and he says under his breath, bleepers.
Bleepers.
I'll tell you, one of the best things I ever did was go to his little ceremony at Fort Snelling, not the main funeral, just for the family. And I got tipped off that it was going on, and they were great, Marlene, his wife, and everybody. But the four son-in-laws started telling stories. Oh. It was hysterical. The sons-in-law, especially the Iranian guy, she's married. Hey, called somebody into his office and says, his wife, his daughter was engaged to the Iranian guy, and he says, aren't we at a war with Iran? The person said, not specifically him.
You know what he was, though, deep down? Just a hell of a good guy.
Oh, great guy. Loved golf.
Good human being.
Loved golf. Yeah. I told you, I did a column on his, at getting an ace at Somerset, I called him. This was after he was done. And he talked about his ace for 30 seconds and about the fact he made a 6 on the next par 3 for 5 minutes, you know. Then I hit the damn bleeping ball over, you know.
God, did he coach after he left here?
No.
No.
He was done.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was 90 when he died. 94 when he died, I think. Okay. So, he was in his 70s when he finally was done. God. What a beauty. What a beauty. All righty. What a weekend. Did you enjoy your football weekend, ladies
and gentlemen?
Did you
have a nice weekend?
Yeah. It was a great weekend.
That's great.
All right.
We'll see you.
This is Ricey, and you've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I recommend that you give Josh a call is simple: trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns, and while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seen in returns. Yep, that is more common than you would like to think in the investment business. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad you did, and don't forget to ask him why it is 48 minutes.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.
We've been telling you about the Canopy Group for the last few years, and the Canopy Group has 16 companies and 40 professionals. We have revolutionized the home and auto insurance marketplace. We have a challenge for you. Please call your current home and auto insurance agent and have him or her shop your insurance with 16 different companies and provide the pricing from their top 5 companies. Be prepared for a long pause. Why? Because most agents only have one company, so they can't do this. Furthermore, these agents are counting on the fact that you won't shop around either. Call the Canopy Group and we'll do the shopping for you. We'll provide you with the best results from our top 5 companies. We have 16 to choose from, and we'll show you those with the best coverage for the best price on your home and auto insurance. And remember, once you're a client of the Canopy Group, you'll be part of our annual review program, where we do this for you again and again. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.